We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Today, we preview Newcastle United against Bournemouth and also talk through what the rest of the season looks like potentially for Newcastle United as we return in third place looking up rather than down. We do these previews for every single first team fixture on our Patreon platform. You'll get a Leicester preview this week. If you haven't signed up already, come and join us. It's from £3 a month for ad-free podcasts. And then there's a couple of other tiers. So come and join us. We'd love to have you. Maybe it's a good Christmas present for the Newcastle United fan in your life. I don't know. Ooh. That's your decision. Charlotte likes it.
What a great idea.
Lovely idea. Charlotte, then, Bournemouth at home. I'll tell you what it is, and maybe you can extend on it. It's 52,000 people. It's Christmas, the last bit of Christmas shopping before going to the match. Maybe for some people, it's the worst possible fixture as a Bournemouth fan. You think you're cursed that this is your pre-Christmas fixture. And it's just great to be back. How are you feeling about it all?
I'm really excited. We were at the Rio friendly, and it was nice to be back in St. James's Park, but that is obviously... you know, it's different. It's a friendly. The stakes are lower. There's a lot of kids there. I'm sure there'll be some kids at the Bournemouth game as well, but it is a night game, and I don't think the schools are broken up and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a pretty good atmosphere. It's the final sort of thing before Christmas. Everybody's been watching the World Cup or not watching the World Cup if you couldn't be bothered. Had this break, and like it's we're back. I know it's a cup game and not a league game, but we're back, and it's just going to be really nice to be back in St. James's Park in the cold night air. I'm really looking forward to it.
Sorry, same question.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect on Tuesday night because the Palace game had a very exhibition-friendly feel to it. There wasn't much of an atmosphere, and it was lots of kids. And that was a weeknight as well, but there is something about the fact that this is the only proper competitive fixture we get before Christmas. Everyone will be up for it. It's that time of year. I think a lot of the tickets went to season ticket holders, so it'll be the usual crowd in their seats. So I'm expecting it to be pretty big. And it's a huge game. It's a real opportunity here, because if we can get ourselves into the quarterfinals of this cup, was it the quarterfinals or the fourth round?
It'll be quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals. Thrown off by the fact that we played the third round in like November. But I think it's massive. It's a big opportunity. We were speaking to our good friend Colin Whittle yesterday, weren't we? We'll get onto it a bit later about what the rest of the season holds, but the League Cup is a huge, huge opportunity, and it'll be just such a brilliant starting point for this new Newcastle United regime, and probably much sooner than any of us expected. So I've got high hopes, and I think that will reflect in the crowd and the atmosphere on Tuesday.
Hope you're right, of course, and I think you are right. And you know, yesterday it was nice. It was nice to see the lads back. There were some familiar body shapes, familiar runs, familiar Sven Botman-isms that I saw on the pitch, and that's great, but it was almost what it was supposed to be. It's like it's a run around and a kickabout. Rayo brought some fucking mental fans. Congratulations to them for kind of, you know, keeping the attention of most of the crowd compared to the football in the second half. Everyone's just watching them. But it is back properly on Tuesday. Bit mental, it's Tuesday. Not very much notice for a lot of people. Probably a few tickets changing hands there because people's plans have been muddled, particularly with the kids. But I can't wait for it. And like you say, Si, massive game, but big occasion. You know, this is St. James's Park. Like what I felt as the teams came out yesterday in the friendly, I was just like, this should be a league game. Fuck the World Cup. This should have been last Saturday before Christmas, and it we were still at St James' Park watching Newcastle play, but it's not the same. Tuesday's a bit of a return to that. It's competitive football, and it's a massive, massive game for Newcastle United. I don't know if it's a massive game for Bournemouth, so let's talk about that a little bit. And are these guys almost the perfect opposition? There was some conversation about this in one of the previews, I think we did in the previous round against Palace. And, you know, the League Cup was very much a viable option for Palace. They're not going to get relegated, so it's a bit like we used to be, but never did. You've got to go for the Cups. Where Bournemouth have just got to stay in the league, Charlotte. Could we have handpicked better opposition?
Well, no, not really. Out of the ones that are left, I don't think so. I think we have a real opportunity here. Bournemouth do need to focus on the league. They've had a sort of rocky start. They sacked their manager, and then their interim manager has now been allowed to be, what's his name?
Gary O'Neill.
It's a real name that just won't stick in my head. Sorry, Gary. Yeah, I think they just need to really focus on kind of a reset. They've had a takeover. Michael B. Jordan now has a stake in Bournemouth, which is a bit weird for Wire, fans of The Wire. And also, I think he's probably in a Marvel franchise, I'm not sure. But another Hollywood actor coming to our country and buying clubs or stakes in. I don't know. I think it's a real good opportunity for us. It's at St. James's Park. Bournemouth shouldn't really be focusing on this game. I don't think they'll put out a full strength side. No. The answer is we couldn't have handpicked a better opposition.
So how much relevance do you think that 1-1 home draw against the same opposition back in September, when we hardly played any football September, but we did play against Bournemouth. Do you see that game as relevant to this one?
Certainly, because they'll be looking at that and think, well, this is what we did last time, and a draw, 90 minutes, take it to pens, would suit them. You know, that I think Charlotte's right. They're probably not going to take the cup that seriously. They're like lower mid-table, aren't they? They're about 15th or something.
Yeah.
But they did smash Everton in the last round and then smashed them again in the same week in the league. Like, they scored like 8 goals against them, didn't they?
Seven.
So I don't think they should be taken too lightly, but yeah, I think they'll be looking at that game and thinking, well, the only way to play against Newcastle United is to try and sit in and stop them from scoring loads of goals. Because, I mean, at the time it did work, but they might also be looking at the 6 or 7 fixtures that followed it, and we learned how to score goals against teams that did that. So it's relevant, but they might also have to think, well, actually, if we do that and Miggy just carries on the form he was in before the break, it's not going to work. We're so much better than we were then. But yeah, I think there's also the element of this will be our first competitive fixture back after a month. It won't be as intense as we got by October's November time. We might not have that 90 minutes of pressing in. So if they can frustrate us for 50, 60 minutes, maybe that's enough. And because we might start running out of ideas. That said, we've got pretty much the full squad available. There'll be players on the bench desperate to come on and do something as well. So it's a dangerous game for Bournemouth to play, but it's the only way they could approach this. So I think we will see a lot of the same, a lot of 10 men behind the ball, a lot of restricting our opportunities to find space. Which doesn't make for a great spectacle, but I also am confident that we learned how to deal with that towards the end of the first part of the season.
And a lot of it will presumably have to do with team selection as well, so we can move on to that, because we were missing a lot of players that day. We're missing ASM, Callum Wilson, Shelby, and Bruno. That was Bruno's return game, but he managed kind of 60, and it was a very laboured 60 for Bruno, in comparison. It's always the tough one for these games, isn't it? Because what type of team will Eddie Howe play? Charlotte, you told me an anecdote, or you told us on the Instant Reaction on Patreon, an anecdote yesterday about what a Bournemouth fan.
A Bournemouth man.
Sounds like he's committed an offence in the local paper advertising. Bournemouth man says this. What did you say, Charlotte, about Howe and the Cups?
Well, it was actually on our preview. Oh. Did we do a Rio preview? It was on that show, on Patreon. He said that Eddie Howe doesn't do the Cups. He's not interested in the Cups. He just wants to, like, push on in the league. This is a guy who is a massive Bournemouth fan. And he's speaking as his experience of Eddie Howe. My words don't work this morning. managing Bournemouth. Now, I don't agree with him, but then we drew Bournemouth. I didn't agree with him anyway, necessarily, because Eddie Howe's changed a lot since he managed Bournemouth.
Jobs.
Yeah, he's changed jobs. He went to Europe. He's made everything digital. He's been busy. But then we drew Bournemouth, and this guy messaged me and was like, oh, maybe he will do the cups. And I think Eddie Howe has something to prove here. It's his old side. It's proving that kind of I do the cups, actually. Like, I think he's got that to prove. It has been very clear that winning something is important to our owners and to him since he joined Newcastle, and this is a fantastic opportunity. So I do think it's going to be a good game.
It's an interesting conversation because I can see the point the guy's making. If you look at the Crystal Palace game, Howe made 10 changes to that team. That's not what you would suggest is taking the cup particularly seriously. Mm-hmm. He's not alone guilty of that. Every team does it, and every team has done it for 20, 25 years now, especially the League Cup, which is considered probably less important than the FA Cup. But it is a different scenario because he's got a team that's third in the league. He's not got a team like Bournemouth they were comfortable a couple of years, but he was always really in a relegation battle. And when you're in a relegation battle, there's only so far you're ever going to go in the cups. It's very unlikely you're going to get to the latter ends of it. And it is potentially a distraction for a smaller club with a smaller squad and players that you don't want to get injured. Where a much bigger club with a bigger squad, you know, I think I've been impressed myself even by the number of fringe players who've got something to offer. So he can take the cup more seriously without even looking like taking the cup more seriously because he's just got the better resources available to him. I think he still will play. He'll make changes and he'll weaken the team for cup games generally because that's what every club does. Every team in the league does it. For this one in particular, I think he'll go as strong as possible because it's not just about this game. It's about players who've had a month off and need the fitness and need the practice, for want of a better word. So I think we'll see a pretty much full strength team, maybe a lot of changes off the bench because of that fitness factor, with one eye on Leicester because the league is more important. And even PIF, who want to win everything, will still be saying, well, the Premier League and where we finish in that is still like the absolute most important thing to us. But I think every supporter would agree that a cup win for this fan base would be incredible, and the club probably understand how big a deal winning a trophy this quickly would be. So I don't think he won't take the cup seriously. I think he will treat it like most elite managers do. And going forward for the next 5-10 years, however long he's here, he will do the same thing. He'll use it as an opportunity to bring through players who haven't had many minutes. But Tuesday night, I think, will prove your friend Mann wrong. Charlotte,
his name's Alex. I don't know why I've...
too many Alexes, that's why.
Yeah, that's
Charlotte.
Why. We'll call him Bournemouth Man.
But yeah, I think we'll be taking this game very seriously on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a really interesting one, Si. Of course, I hope you're correct, but... we're not even thinking about Leicester, I suppose, because the Premier League, what's that? When does it return? Mm. Where did it go? Like, Newcastle have got three games. Leicester, Leeds and Arsenal. And if they can come out of those games, potentially, with 6 or 7 points, title challenge is on. Title challenge is on. I said it. It's on. And it feels a bit like, does playing a full-strength team against Bournemouth jeopardise that? Not necessarily. And you'd think, even though there's a game missing from the Christmas schedule, a traditional Christmas schedule, you're always going to need a bit of rotation. We had a little ghost of the past turn up at St James's Park yesterday about what happens when you don't prepare for the Christmas period. Mm. And Florian Lejeune, whose Newcastle career was wrecked by the previous manager, by making them play 3 games in 6 days or some shit, and you know, having not played for 18 months or whatever it was.
With like ACL or something.
Yeah. So you won't get that from Eddie and Mad Dog, but I suppose one of the questions is, and this is probably back to you, Si, because you've just said he'll name the strongest team. Like, what even is the strongest team? Because you're looking at Nick Pope, your spine, Pope, Botman, Bruno, Wilson. Now, Wilson wasn't even on the bench yesterday. We don't know if he took part in the behind-closed-doors kickabout the day before. You know, Howe was very quiet yesterday on Wilson, just didn't want to talk about him. If he's match fit and he's chomping at the bit, you're probably just like, yeah, I'll be back. But he didn't say that. So there's concerns that this injury picked up on international duty is actually quite bad.
Or is he diplomatically holding him back for Leicester? and making it seem like he might not be fit when actually he might just be wanting to make a tactical decision to keep him.
And that's fine. That would go against your strongest team line.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, the Palace game, on paper, you're right, we made 10 changes, and actually it was a strong team still. It wasn't a piss take. It wasn't young lads and Matt Ritchie. You know, Matt Ritchie's still nowhere near the team.
Yeah.
Like, once Ritchie's getting a game these days, you're like, right, well, what's gone wrong here? But essentially, I kind of feel like it might be a similar team to what we saw yesterday, maybe with a bit of Joe Linton.
The bench will be stronger.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of Joe Linton, and maybe you might see a Fabian Schär and a Dan Byrne, but maybe not, and then possibly Miguel Almirón as well.
Well, that's nearly full strength. I think Callum Wilson is one player that you might treat slightly differently because we know he has his injury record and we know of his importance to us. So if Eddie Howe thinks he can win this game and then keep Callum Wilson for Boxing Day, he's probably going to try that. He might have Wilson on the bench though, because if we're one down with 20 minutes to go, he's going to want to try and get back in the game. He's not going to throw it. Strongest team is a very good question, because it's a fully fit team now. We saw Jonjo Shelvey yesterday, but he wouldn't necessarily start a game if we're picking our strongest team based on form this season. But this is the beauty of it now. He can pick what he thinks is the strongest team, knowing that there's class players on the bench as well. And we can take a few risks. If someone does get hurt or someone does get a knock, it doesn't matter that much because we've got a bit of depth now. So that's another reason I think that you'll play a very strong team, because if Shelvey doesn't get in that, you've got him on the bench and you've got him available for Boxing Day. You could say the same of whoever plays left back out of Burn Target. Shaw didn't play yesterday. I don't want to see Lascelles starting for Newcastle, but you know, he wasn't hopeless and he can still do a job as long as he's alongside someone as good as Botman. There's options in the front three. You've got Jacob Murphy, who played not the full game, but 75 minutes yesterday. Joe Linton didn't. There's options there that I would consider still playing first team players. So yeah, maybe not absolute full strength, but a proper strong team. There'll be not loads of kids in the team. There'll not be players who've not kicked the ball. It'll be, you know, Mankio won't be playing right back, for example. Like, I just think he's going to, because we've had this time off, he's going to want as many players to get minutes as possible in preparation for the Leicester game, not to protect them for the Leicester game.
So my question to you, therefore, is what do you want him to play? Do you want him to play all of the class lines, go as strong as possible, or do you think this is Bournemouth at home? We have good footballers. Whoever plays will be better than who Bournemouth can put out. Let's get out. Even with a penalty shootout win again, we'll rely on Nick Pope and Chris Wood banging them in from the spot. And let's concentrate on Leicester. Where do you stand?
Are those my only two options?
No, you can throw in as many options as you like.
I think I err on the strong team side. What is the game on Monday?
Yes.
So it's still like 6 days.
Yes.
Between the two. I err on the side of bring on the class lads, like get it done in about 60 minutes and then just bring them off and protect the win. Like that's what I would do, I think. Like, let's have our strongest possible team. You know, where are the goals going to come from if we don't have Wilson? Well, they can come from midfield. We have a strong midfield that can score. We have ASM back, who's creative and we know can score, or at least can set stuff up. Yesterday he was doing some generous passing, which Si and I were talking during the game. It's almost like, was he trying to make a point? Like, look, I can and I will. Let me play. So I say strong team, and like, let's just get it done. Don't tire them out with like a penalty shootout or like all of that stuff. There's no need. Let's just do it.
I think Maximan definitely plays on Tuesday and it's his opportunity. It's like, right, come on, Maxi, you're back fit. Show us what you can do. Show us why I should pick you for league games going forward, because he doesn't necessarily get into the team based, again, on the form of the players. He'd have to drop one of Joe Linton or Joe Willock, and he's not going to want to do that. Leicester are a better side than they probably, their league play shows, and he's going to probably want to play both of those players. But if Maxi can show us why we all love him and why we think he's the player we can that he can be, it's Tuesday night is his chance. He looked fit yesterday. He played well, like you say, Charlotte. He was doing a bit more for his teammates. He was pressing a bit. He was trying to get involved and doing the job almost a little bit too unselfishly, because the Maximan we know and love can be selfish and can beat a player and get a shot off and score goals out of nowhere. But he will need to learn how to play the Eddie Howe way as well. He has to be able to do both. But Tuesday's a massive chance for him, and I think he'll definitely start him.
Before we do part two of the show, then, let's get a couple of predictions, or three. I'll start. I think Bournemouth are going to come. I think they're going to change players, and I think they're going to make it really difficult. But I think Newcastle will win 2-0. Charlotte, how's it going to go?
I think 1-0. One goal will decide it. We'll win. It's us. It's our goal. But just the one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tight affair. But are we going to go to pens? Maybe a pen shootout for fun. 1-1 pen shootout.
No, it's night time. I want to go to bed.
Okay. We're going to break for some adverts now. If you don't want to listen to these adverts in these podcasts, it's £3 a month and you help us, you support us and keep us going. So please consider that. Back after these. Okay, part two of the show. I would like to look ahead to the rest of the season. Yes, it's the most unnatural break to a season since 2020, but this one was planned all along. And we're back, and we were class. We're coming off 5 straight league wins. If we're hoying Palace in there, if we're hoying Vallecano in there, and maybe Bournemouth in there, and Al-Hilal in there, it would be 9 straight league wins. There isn't a better form team in the Premier League, I don't think. There probably isn't a better form team in the whole of Europe. I didn't check. I don't have time for that. But probably, you know, how good is everyone else? Because we're fucking class. Can we win the league, Si?
We talked at length about this yesterday because you seem to be, I'll let you get your points across later, but you seem to get a little bit carried away with this idea. I think it's possible. It is possible because, you know, the next month of fixtures will really tell us how serious that possibility is. You know, if we can get through Leicester, Leeds, and then is it Arsenal? Leicester, Leeds, Arsenal with 7 or more points, you are a serious title contender, because then you're getting into January thinking, who the fuck is going to beat Newcastle United at football? Like, you really are thinking that. You know, there could be a lot of different sets of results there that don't mean it's impossible, but if that happens, I'll start believing your hype. it's still a big ask because of how good Man City are. Arsenal have looked very good and don't look like slipping up, to be fair to them. But when our main competitors are a team with Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, who can just make football matches their own every single week, it would still be a serious miracle for us to keep up with that. But I'm not ruling it out. It is possible.
The thing that gives me hope is, yes, they've got those footballers. Haaland hasn't been out of the team for any serious amount of time this season. Mm. He's missed a couple of games, so has De Bruyne. We're 2 points behind them. And we deserve more points than we have.
Yeah.
We could have beaten Wolves. It wasn't a vintage performance, but we hit the bar in the last minute. There was a bit of VAR controversy, referee controversy. Newcastle should have a penalty. We definitely should have got at least a point at Anfield, if not more. Should have beat Palace. We were robbed. Like, there's like, what, 5-6 points already. We're fucking top of the league. And I know lots of clubs and lots of teams could look at individual fixtures and think, we deserve more here, we deserve more there. I just don't think there's another team in the league, and I include Arsenal in this. I mean, if you look at Arsenal's results, they're not battering teams that the way we've been battering teams. Mm. 1-4-1 at Southampton, who didn't even play well. Arsenal went to Southampton, got a run around for 45 minutes, and it was 1-1. You know, it was the same Southampton team with the same players. And, you know, I'm not advocating that Newcastle will win the league, but I've just, in this break, no one's been talking about it. Newcastle fans are just delighted to be where they are. And that's okay. I'm not saying expectations have to change, but I do think we are... you know, we're in danger of not recognizing how good this team has been this season. They've been unbelievable.
I think people are still frightened to recognize it. Like, it still feels, because it's all happened quite quickly. And I mean me. Like, I know we're fucking class. We say it every week on our YouTube thing. But also, it's like, less and less as time goes on, we still sort of feel like the rug's going to be pulled from under you. And actually, like, the more games we play, the less that does have, like, that feeling goes away. But, like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Charlotte, it's 34 years for me of muscle memory,
right,
that. Like,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
You just expect something will go wrong. This is Newcastle United. Because so far, apart from the points you just made, Dodds, where, yes, we had points snatched from us by referees, by VAR, and bad luck, but you'd still think something will happen that will just take away our momentum, an unlucky injury, a bad decision here. But yeah, we've probably got to get used to that not being the case, because I think we said in one of the games before the World Cup that single bad refereeing decisions used to dictate how a game happened for Newcastle, whereas we can get away, because we're so good now, two or three things going against us doesn't mean we lose the game. We might still win a game in spite of these things, whereas under Bruce, if one terrible thing happened, that's all you would talk about afterwards, and that was the bad luck, and that was the moment. You know, a soft penalty is given, we lose the game, whereas if we give a soft penalty against Leeds, we might still beat them 3-1. So that's the difference now, is that there can't be many situations where bad luck costs us results now, because we've gotten so good. But yeah, I understand, Charlotte. I'm the same. I'm still just so used to the something ruining it and something causing the disappointment that I can't get too far ahead of myself. You just got to keep your feet on the ground. But I understand the point as to why you think, Dodds, that we can do it, because who no one's in the form we are. No one else is.
And there's I trust these lads. And it's like, I don't want to set myself up for a fall that if we go to Leicester and get done 2-0, I don't think we will. But it doesn't change the fact that that one result doesn't mean we're not a very, very good football team. We're probably going to strengthen in January, even though there's the usual dampening of expectations in the media, which is, you know, I love it, right? Because you can only report what you're told. So you've got a source inside the club and they say, we're not going to spend, we might not spend at all in January. You're going to report that, but come on. They said the same in the summer, 65 million quid on a striker. Yeah. Like in the last two transfer windows, spent more than anyone else in Europe. Both transfer windows, it's been like playing down expectations. Only so long you can do that without being, you know, ridiculed. But we'll see. I hope these guys are wrong, because I want to sign two first team players. And if we've got ASM and Isak to come back into the team, plus two more first team players potentially being signed, I don't know if there's any of the other top sides that are going to strengthen to that extent. And I suppose it raises a question, Charlotte. How big is the Bournemouth game? Because there is a feeling that this Carabao Cup is here. It's here to be won this season. You know, I'm going to give you an impossible choice. Mm-hmm. But I ask you to give me the choice anyway. Going through against Bournemouth or 3 points against Leicester?
Leicester.
Interesting. Sorry.
For me.
Okay. Is it 3 points or no points? Can I take a draw and a advancing in the cup?
No.
No. Charlotte didn't get that choice. So.
No, short-term future, I want to see us lift a trophy, so I'll go Bournemouth, because I also think we could recover from losing to Leicester.
We'll lift the top of the table trophy. That's the trophy.
I think it can be both, and I think it will be both, but I am interested in this question, because there is definitely a feeling within the fan base that this cup game is massive because of the reasons we've talked about. You're in a quarter final. Like you say, Si, who's going to fucking beat us in the league? Well, who's going to beat us in the quarters when, even if you get a Man City or a Liverpool or a whoever, they're not going to play their best side until they get to the final. I think the semis are only one leg this year as well, because of the World Cup and the season stuff. So, it's a really interesting one. And it doesn't have to be binary, but I'm Leicester. I'm with you, Charlotte. I'm going on Tuesday. I'm desperate to beat Bournemouth. I think we'll beat Bournemouth. But also, it's that you know, we lost to Cambridge, and Bournemouth aren't Cambridge. We lost to Cambridge home last season. It was still an unbelievable season. You can lose in the cup and still have an unbelievable season.
Yeah.
Your season's kind of defined on league results. Having said that, Newcastle United winning a trophy, I can't even imagine what my life looks like the day after or the week after. It would just be beyond brilliant. Mm-hmm. But it's nice, isn't it, that we we have a chance in, I don't know, when's the Arsenal games? On the 3rd of January. How far are we from the 3rd of January? But in the next couple of weeks, we'll know a lot more, won't we?
Yeah.
We will know a hell of a lot more inside the next 2 weeks. And I can't wait for it. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. These consequential football matches at this time of the season, we've just never had them before.
Yeah.
The only consequences were shit consequences, where you could be cut off at the bottom of the league, which never happens, or you could be in a relegation zone at the end of January, all that kind of stuff. And it's just completely different. Question for you both now would be, what do you think will happen? I'm saying Newcastle can win the league. I think they deserve that respect. I think if Liverpool were third in the league, or even Man United were third in the league right now, with our record, they'd be saying we can win this league. And I think our players and our management deserve that respect. Doesn't mean they will win it. I'm definitely not saying they should win it, but I think they deserve the respect. But to you guys, I don't know who wants to start, what do you think will happen? How will the rest of the season go, and why?
I think It's a difficult question to answer because you've said it right. The next two or three games will massively demonstrate to us where we think this is going to go. I also think the January transfer business, whilst I agree with you, it seems likely that this club, regardless of what they say, will probably try and bring in some players. It might not happen because, you know, it's, January market's not always that easy to navigate, but this is a January market that comes after a World Cup, so it's a bit different. There's lots of players in high stock. There's lots of players probably looking for moves. And there'll be lots of players who want to come to Newcastle United. And they'll be using their agents and whatever they can to do that. I think my main concern before the World Cup was that it'll not only kill the momentum of us winning and winning well for weeks and weeks and weeks, but what it took for us to get to that point of winning every week was, it was gradual. At the start of the season, we were a bit slow. We didn't have 90 minutes of Eddie Howe pressing in us. And I still worry that that will be the case. We'll be a little bit slower to get back to that point because there is no substitute for competitive football. You can't keep the lads that kind of fit without playing competitive matches. However, we were there yesterday and I was very impressed with how sharp we looked. And it was a mixture of players who will start and won't start in the coming games. But I thought we looked pretty on it. I thought we looked not far off the kind of football we want to be playing again. And, you know, we get a good competitive game against the Premier League team on Tuesday, which a lot of the others don't. You know, Leicester are playing MK Dons. They don't get the same kind of practice for our game, if you know what I mean. So I'm less worried about this drop off in intensity and fitness that might have come. Also from the fact that we've got a fully fit squad, minus Isak, who we're still not sure when we'll see him, but hopefully soon. We shouldn't be as badly impacted by the break as we thought we would be. I mean, the World Cup has been the worst thing for Newcastle. We've had the worst impact of that because we were flying and we would have, I think, just kept winning games right up to Christmas had we had a normal set of fixtures. But yeah, I'm more optimistic than I was before the World Cup based on, ridiculously, it was just a friendly yesterday, but based on what I've seen, based on the kind of what came from the Saudi trip, it sounded like, you know, they were all up for it. A good little result against Al Khalid, you know. All things are pointing to us continuing the way we left off, which is really encouraging.
Charlotte, same question.
Yeah, I agree with Si. I just think everything's going well. Everything's looking good. And the break has been horrible and it's been horrible for fans and I've hated that. But I think yesterday was really encouraging. We've got people coming back. Bruno was there yesterday. I just looked at Instagram. He was in the stands, so he's coming back. I just think I'm encouraged by the rest of the season.
What do you think will happen though?
I don't want to answer the question because I don't know. I think we could. I think we could win the league. But like you say, we're not, like, that's not saying we're going to. And I think that's a really, like piece of nuance that, like, we were talking about this in the car. When you say we could win the league, we're in that conversation. We're not saying we're going to. But I think we have what it takes. So do I think we will? Do I think that's going to happen? I'm going to say yes. Going to say yes. I think we're going to finish first or second this season. I feel like nervous saying that. I genuinely feel nervous saying that, but I think that's where we'll end.
I don't want to spoil that because I love the idea that we're sitting here talking about Newcastle winning the league. I think we have. I think Man City and maybe Arsenal as well. We could finish beneath those two because I don't see anyone else catching us or being as good as us. I think we've actually hit a point where not qualifying for the Champions League we'd consider disappointing from where we are right now. You know, if that happened, if we had a real run of bad luck and some injuries and our form fell off a bit, you know, I wouldn't blame Eddie Howe. I wouldn't think anything less of him. But I have hit a point now where I think Champions League football is there for us to have next season, and if we don't get it, I'll be a little bit disappointed. I don't really want to play. It's really arrogant, but I don't want to play Europa Conference. Fuck that. Like, we're already better than Europa Conference. You know, I'll take Europa League if we had to, but I've hit a point where I think Champions League really has got to be the target from now on. And I think that will be seen in what we do in the January transfer window. But winning the league, it might just be a bit too soon. I love the optimism, guys, but I just can't see it yet.
I don't think, Champions League is like a given to me. Like, okay, if we're not going to, I still think we could win the league. And I'm saying it like what, first or second, but Champions League, definitely. Like, that just feels definite to me. Do you not think?
No, it's really interesting because expectation is something that Eddie Howe seems to want to guard against, whether that's in the stands. Well, it will be in the stands, but I think particularly within his own squad, an expectation can take many forms, but I think he wants Newcastle to approach Leicester. I mean, Leicester are, where are they in the league? They're 13th in the league away from home. Their home record is shit. They've improved somewhat since their horrible days at the start of the season, but they've mostly improved away from home, playing counter-attacking football. Mm. I think he wants us to go into Leicester away, kind of treating Leicester like we treated them last season. He doesn't want any drop-off in mentality that every game is a battle and all this kind of stuff. And that's probably as much as in terms of where we are as a squad and experience, it's that mentality that we don't have yet. That one, you know, the kind of elite mentality the top clubs and players have where they play Leicester away or they play Southampton at home and they're just like, we know if we turn up, we'll win. I don't think he thinks we're there yet. So in terms of Champions League, the good thing that we've got going for us, if Newcastle finish sixth this season, despite disappointment or, you know, because Newcastle would have to have a reasonable drop-off to not finish where they are now. Eddie Howe's not going to lose his job for finishing sixth. He's, you know, and that's a nice place to be. Mm. Fans are still going to love Eddie Howe if we finish sixth. If we have a much worse end to the season or second half of the season, Eddie Howe, Newcastle, the project is still on track. The improvement, you know, from 20th to 11th in the space of a few months last season, and then even if Newcastle were to finish 6th this season, or even 7th, 11th to 7th, that is still massive progress in a season. However, for that to happen, and for us to not get Champions League, the level of drop-off, considering that we already don't have as many points as I think we deserve, it would have to be quite remarkable. And other teams can do shit, and maybe the main reason for Newcastle potentially not winning the league is not so much what Newcastle can do. It's just that Man City have experience of winning 18 in a row to do what they've got to do. And that's Arsenal's concern, maybe. Arsenal's concern isn't... I mean, they've won 12 out of 14 games. There's been a lot of those games, I think, unlike us, a lot of those games, Arsenal lucky to win. But that's an extraordinary achievement. And they're 5 points clear at the top of the league. But they know Manchester City can just win 18 in a row. They've done it before. The players know what they're doing. Arsenal don't know that. Even we don't know that. Mm. So that's a big thing. But in terms of the teams below us, and we, you know, I've done a series on Patreon for patrons, speaking to fans of top six clubs to get their view of the season so far and their view of Newcastle. All of them are talking Newcastle. None of them are saying we're definitely going to catch Newcastle. When I'm asking who's going to finish top four, they've all put their own teams in, plus Newcastle United. So I think top four, while it's not a given, I agree with you, Charlotte, that this team are one of the best four teams in this league. I expect us, by the way, to continue to improve as the season goes on. It's like you said, Si, unlike a lot of sides, we've been getting better as we go, not the opposite. Whereas Man City started like a house on fire, have dropped off a bit, home losses to Brentford, couldn't beat Fulham until the 96th minute with a dodgy pen. They aren't getting better every time you see them. Newcastle are. And I think for that reason alone, we'll finish top four definitely and be in that conversation for the Premier League.
Yeah. I think that's the point. I was like, you've articulated it better than I could, because it's Christmas and there's been too much alcohol. But it's the drop-off. Like, there would have to be such a... it would have to be... Something terrible would have to happen. A big injury problem or just something going horribly wrong at the club for us to sort of fall out of that top three for me. Like, we're an excellent side. And as you say, getting better. You just can't see that happening without some kind of catastrophe.
Yeah, that's what all those teams, or most of them, have got European football to contend with. Most of them will be in the cups. They'll go further in the cups. They've got a lot more fixtures to deal with than we do. And yes, Man City have got loads of players, and they'll probably strengthen as well, but maybe not as significantly as we do, as he said. But a little bit on the expectation word, which has been used to beat us as supporters for years and years and years by previous managers, by idiots in the media. It's not expectation from me. I don't think it's expectation from any of us. I'm not expecting us to finish the Champions League. I'm just genuinely optimistic and believe it can happen. It's very different to saying this club should be in the top four when we weren't good enough to be in the top four. We should be in the top four because we are good enough to be in the top four with this team and this manager, and it's optimism, and I think you're right, Dodds. It's a very unique kind of optimism where, because everything's so positive and because of where we came from like 12 months ago, it's an expectation that doesn't have the same negative connotations if we don't achieve it. It's that thing of, like you said, Eddie Howe wouldn't be in trouble, and no one would hold it against him if we did drop off. Everyone would just be so happy that things are different now, and it's such a unique atmosphere around the club that I think that probably it probably helps because there isn't that pressure. It's not like a you must. It's not like a Man United or a Chelsea where if they don't finish in the Champions League, it's an absolute disaster. If we don't finish the Champions League, it'd be like, oh, and look, your lads, we'll go again next year. Like it's that's unique for a top team, and that's probably plays into our favour as well. That lack of pressure that we can just go into each game each week and do the same thing and just play our game and not really worry about what the end result is.
I think I do expect us to win games, and like it's kind of a nice thing. Like it, like you say, it's an optimism thing, Si, and it comes from a good place. But like at this stage, like you say, with our form, I do expect us to win. I expect us to end in a pretty high position in the league table. Like that expect. It's like you know, you hire people, you expect them to do a good job. These are professionals at the top of their game with an excellent manager and coaching staff. And we've got better. So I do have an expectation, and I think it's okay to have an expectation.
I agree. It's going to be very, very interesting. The demand for tickets at Newcastle now is just obscene. It's just absolutely obscene. And the reason for that is we're absolutely class.
You saw someone in the box office yesterday demanding a ticket for Bournemouth. Yeah. They were like, it's sold out.
He's like, surely someone can't make it. And it, yeah, you know, I'm with him because I'm fortunate I'm going to Bournemouth. Like, it's a brilliant place to be. It's a brilliant time to support the club. And, you know, stick with us on True Faith to hear how it plays out because I can't wait to be at these games. I can't wait to podcast them. It's just so exciting. And it's a nice place to finish. Massive. This time next week, it'll be Christmas Day. But this time in 9 days' time, we'll have played Bournemouth, we'll have played Leicester. It will be, you know, we'll know a lot more about the direction of things after those two fixtures. I can't wait for them. I hope the players and the manager and everyone at Newcastle United knows how enthused we are as supporters to watch them play football. It's brilliant. Final reminder from me on this podcast, we have another live show for you on the 7th of February at the Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle. It's going to be me and Charlotte joined by George Colkin of The Athletic, Craig Hope of The Daily Mail, Mark Douglas of The I newspaper and Keith Downey of Sky Sports. We've done 3 or 4 of these before at the Stand and they've been riotous nights. People have told us they really enjoyed them. You may have listened to the podcast because we podcast them. We hope you can come along. Ticket sales have been really, really strong so far, so I'd hate for anyone to miss out. So I'll put a link in the description to this podcast. If you want to come along, we're going to talk about Newcastle United, hopefully in a title-winning position, or at least in the conversation, and also look back at hopefully a massive January transfer window. So come down on the night. The first part of the show is a live podcast, and the second part of the show is audience questions to the lads. So would love to see you along. Get yourselves down. Final thing for me to say is please join us on Patreon. If you like these podcasts, you get them ad-free. You get loads more of this type of thing. We do about 6-7 additional Newcastle United podcasts this week, almost one a day, so you can listen to that. We've got loads coming up this week. We've got a full Leicester preview. We're talking about Newcastle United's front three in an ideal world, who plays where and why and what we think will happen. We've got the best of Newcastle United on Boxing Day, and we've got our very popular show with Charlotte, True Faith, Any Questions, where we answer your questions on Newcastle United. Get involved with all of that. If you like, we'd love to have you along with us for the ride. Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.